Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning as we've gathered together on Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. Now, someone once asked me, man, are we going to do something special on Resurrection Sunday? And my response is, every Sunday we do something special. Every Sunday we preach the gospel. We preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every Sunday we preach repentance. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday every single Sunday. Now, I know how it is, like especially Valentine's Day, right? So we tell our couple, our wives, you know, I celebrate you every single day because it's Valentine's Day. But she says, here is the special day. You better do something really good, right? For us, we're going to do something really good, and that is to focus on a text that is specific about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll take a break from Matthew, and we'll look at the Gospel of John, John chapter 11, verses 17 through 26. If you're a guest, welcome. Welcome to First Baptist Church of Thibodaux. We're always excited to have guests with us. And if you're a member, know that we have been praying for you guys. So please stand as we read from the Word of God. When you've turned to John chapter 11, verses 17 through 26, say word. Word, word. Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she sent and met him. But Mary remained seated at the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last days. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Let's pray together. Father, bless the reading of your word. I am a sinful man trying to articulate the perfect word of God. And I cannot do this on my own. I need the power of the Spirit to speak to the hearts of your people on a subject such as important. This is a very important subject, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Father, open the hearts of your people. Give them a great passion for you. That sometimes we can be so complacent in our relationship with you. And God, I just pray that you place our faith on you. So teach us what we do not know. Make us what we are not. And give us what we do not have. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The title of this sermon is, I am the resurrection and life. I am the resurrection and life. Benjamin Franklin once stated, in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. He's right. So it is to no surprise that death-related worries sometimes take us by storm. Whether it's our near-death experiences or it's the death of a loved one. It is hard when we face death. Some of us think of death all the time. Perhaps it's your dad or your child who have probably died because of cancer or because of something else. Death is so crippling that it causes people to do some of the most crazy things. Because people are trying constantly to preserve their own life because of the fear of death. Take, for example, Xin Shi Yong. Xin Shi Yong is the first emperor of the Xin Dynasty. He died at the age of 39. His desire was to pursue immortality. He wanted to preserve his life so much because of the fear of death that he started consuming mercury. Well, the mercury ended up killing Shin Shiyoung. Another perfect example of this is Diane de Poitiers, or Poitiers. Diane de Poitiers was the chief mistress of King Henry II. She was known for her youthful beauty. So she wanted to remain young for her younger king. So much so that she concocted a drink of gold chloride and diethyl ether so it would prevent her from getting older. At the age of 66, Diane de Poitiers died because of the concoction. Brothers and sisters, we see this in our life today. Just look at Hollywood. People are taking all kinds of drinks, going under every surgery, every knife, because they want to preserve their life. They want to look younger. They are seeking and pursuing immortality. But the Bible tells us this. One of the most unsettling aspects of death is that no man has control over it. We will all die. That's a given fact. That we will meet our Maker one day. We will meet our Maker one day. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 8, it mentions, no man has the power to retain the spirit or power over the day of death. There is no discharge from war, nor will the wickedness deliver those who are given to it. They're coming closer, friends, and pay close attention to this. For the believer, we can approach death with a joyful anticipation. We can approach death because our great Savior has conquered death. We should not be fearful of death. Why is that? For the believer, because Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. This is great truth. Notice what the Apostle Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 through 57. When the perishable puts on imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a perfect example of a great missionary by the name of John G. Payton, who embraced death with such joyful anticipation. The story was told that this man from Scotland was called to become a missionary in the High Brides Island. And when he told the congregation and told people that he was leaving to go and to share Christ with a group of people who were cannibalistic, they would eat people, that's what they would do, and he told them that's what he was going to do, share the gospel with such people, a woman who meant good approached him and said to him, the cannibals will eat you. And to that, John G. Payton responded, I confess to you that if I can live and die serving my Lord Jesus Christ, it makes no difference to me whether I am eaten by cannibals or by worms. For in that great day of resurrection, my body will rise as fair as yours in the likeness of our risen Redeemer. What great truth! This man can approach death with joyful anticipation because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus did. This should be our response. Are you fearful of death right now? Are you thinking of it all the time? If you're a believer today, turn to the Word of God and see that there is great hope. That your bodies will be resurrected Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So with that, let's see. So how do we go from fear of death to faith in God, faith in His resurrection? How do we go from fear of death to faith in Jesus' resurrection? I'm glad you're asking this, because we notice in John chapter 11, verses 17 through 26, it teaches us how to do such. Here we see that Jesus' disciples, specifically Martha, is struggling with faith, struggling with the fear of death. That she's appealing to Jesus to do something for her brother. But here, notice very carefully that her brother is dead. Lazarus is dead. And she's approaching Jesus and said to Jesus, "Lord, if you were only here, my brother would not have died." Here is a woman who trusted in Jesus' healing ministry, but not Jesus' power to resurrect. Do you get this? Here's a woman, a Christian, who is struggling with faith. But here we notice that Jesus gives a clearer picture of His deity, who He is, of His power. And brothers and sisters, with that, I want you to observe two points within this passage of Scripture. This morning, two simple points. I want you to see, first, Martha's lack of faith, and two, Jesus' power over life and death. We see this in verses 25 through 27. So first, Martha's lack of faith. We see this in verses 17 through 24. And second, Jesus' power over life and death. Don't you just love it that you serve a risen Savior who has power over life and death? Notice with me the first point, Martha's lack of faith. Martha is an excellent, excellent example of believers today. Many believers today. And coming close and don't miss this, I might be speaking to you. Martha might represent you in this room today. You see, Martha trusted, or she had saving faith. This is a believer here. She has saving faith. She believes that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is Savior. Martha's problem here is struggling with practical faith. Faith in just simply trusting God with what He said. Trusting God for His provision, for our provision. This is what Martha is struggling with here. Instead of Martha saying yes and amen to God's promises, Martha is asking questions. How? Why? What if? Is that you this morning? And we turn to God's Word and we see God's promises, and the first thing we do is we begin to question God's promises. For example, the Lord says in His Word, specifically in His Word, that He says, if we seek His righteousness, then all things will be added unto us. And we begin to ask the question, what if? What if, Lord, I pursue You and I seek Your kingdom, but these things will not be added unto me? Another example of this is Scripture in the book of Philippians. It says, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. But then, instead of saying yes and amen to His promises, we begin to question and we say, well, how? How? He just answered, how? By praying and supplication. But we're still asking how? Another example of this is Scripture gives us this great promise that He will be with us till the end of this age. Great promise. As we are evangelizing, making disciples, God promised that His Son will be with us till the end of the age. And then we begin to ask the question, why? Why? You see, we are like Martha. We limit God's promises. We do. And Martha limited the work of God both in time and in place. See for yourself when she said in verse 21, notice in verse 21, Lord, if You had been here, my brother would not have died. Now you have to understand Martha's personality. This is the context of Scripture here. Lazarus was sick in chapter 11. It mentions that Martha and Mary, sisters to Lazarus, sent word to Jesus and said, "Jesus, hurry up, my brother is about to die." Now, many scholars believe it was at that very day, Lazarus died. So by the time Jesus got the message, Lazarus was already dead. He died. So Jesus then journeyed 4 days to be able to get to Lazarus. When he got to Lazarus, here is Martha and Mary and family members from Jerusalem and all over the place meeting up and weeping and crying and doing all of these things. And here we notice that Martha heard that Jesus was approaching. So Martha got out of her house and ran to Jesus. Now, this is very cool because in Scripture, it gives us this character or personality of Martha. Twice, we notice that Martha is rebuking Jesus. Here, she is rebuking Jesus. "Lord, if you've only been here, my brother would not have died." In Luke chapter 10, it mentioned when Jesus walked into Martha's house, Martha was busy preparing hospitality and doing food for Jesus and his disciples. And the text mentioned that Martha then turned and saw Mary seated at the feet of Jesus. And she got upset and she went to Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care? Tell my sister to help." We notice that Martha had a very bold personality, aggressive personality. And here, again, her aggressive personality is rebuking this great Lord and Savior. "Lord, if you were here, this would not have happened." Now, coming closer, and don't miss this. I don't want you to miss this. In verse 17, the text tells us, notice very carefully what it says. It says, "Now, when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. This is very significant. Very significant. Why would John tell us that Lazarus was dead for 4 days? Well, to make sure you understand, Lazarus is dead. This is not Jesus healing the sick. This is Jesus resurrecting the dead. This is a dead man. As a matter of fact, in the Jewish culture, they believe when someone dies, his spirit hovers over him for 3 days. And the fourth day, as decomposition happens, the spirit then leaves. So every single Jew in that time, they were like, "Jesus, you're too late. Even if you have the power to resurrect, you came on the fourth day, not the third day. Do you get it? It's too late." But brothers and sisters, don't miss this. This is the application for us. This is the sovereign Lord who is in control of all things, who knows all things. Jesus knew this was going to happen. And three times within John 11, Jesus reminded his disciples that Lazarus' death was a display of God's glory. God will use that to display his glory, specifically to display the glory of the Son, Jesus Christ. Notice very carefully in John 11, verse 4. When they brought news to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, notice what Jesus said. "But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'The illness does not lead to death. It is only for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" In John chapter 14, verse 15, then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died." This is as they are on their way, before news was brought to Jesus that Lazarus died. Here it is, that "Lazarus has died," he mentioned. "And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." And third, he says in John chapter 11, verse 40, Jesus said to them, to her, this is Martha, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" You might think in your circumstances that God is not there. God does not see. But in every difficult circumstance, God will receive the glory. He sees it, he knows it, and he's with us. This is a great encouragement for us here. Then Martha and the disciples needed to see this. But I want you to observe, yeah, Martha was struggling and believing in Jesus, in trusting that Jesus will heal her brother. But this is a woman who was not void of faith, Stephen. Even in the text, it shows us that Martha had faith. She had saving faith. Notice what she mentioned, right? She believed that Jesus was able to do anything. See for yourself in verse 22. Notice her response in verse 22, that Jesus is able to do anything. She believed that Jesus would resurrect people in the future. Yes, the resurrection of the dead in the future will happen the last days. Notice what else she believed. She believed that Jesus is the Son of God in verse 27. But do you notice what Martha did not believe? She did not believe that Jesus could resurrect her brother in the present. See for yourself in verse 23. Verse 23. See what she mentioned in verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last days." She did not believe in the present. The promises that God gave her for the present, she was not holding on to it. Now, coming closer, and I think this is the danger for us. It's the same danger that Martha struggled with tremendously. Same problem that Martha and disciples struggle with tremendously is that sometimes we say to ourselves, "Yes, God, I believe in you. I believe in the resurrection. I believe that you are the true God. I believe that Jesus Christ came and died for my sins." But in our everyday life, for him to protect us and provide for us, we struggle to believe in him. We struggle. We struggle to believe in his promises. This is exactly what Martha is struggling with right here. Practical faith. You know, sometimes what we do with the promises of God is that we treat it as antiques that's just placed in the attic. You see, they're of great value, but at the same time, we're not using it. You know, one of the things I learned when I was growing up, I grew up in St. Lucia, and my grandmother, I was raised by my grandparents, and my mom and dad will send all kinds of stuff down, appliances down from America to St. Lucia, appliances such as microwaves and toasters and blenders, and for us that was very significant growing up as a young boy. As a matter of fact, we were some of the only ones in our community with such. And you know what my grandmother would do with all of this? She built a shelf in her kitchen, and she placed all of these things on a shelf so high that you can see it, but at the same time you cannot touch it. All these great appliances were not used. And one day, I remember that day, one day as I was looking, here comes all the appliances tumbling down. The shelf broke and everything fell and broke. You know, oftentimes as believers, we do this like my grandmother. We want to take the promises of God, we place it on our shelf where everyone can see, we preach it, we defend it, we protect it, but we never use it. We never apply it. And this is the issue with Martha and the disciples. And here, Jesus is speaking directly to Martha. Now, we have noticed Martha's lack of faith, but see Jesus' power over life and death. See for yourself, verse 25 through 27. Let's read it together and see how Jesus responds, how he responded. In verse 25, the text mentioned, "And Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die.' Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Now, you would think that Jesus would respond to Martha differently. Like Jesus will probably say to Martha, Martha, I've been with you for so long, and yet you have no clue who I am. That you're saying out of your own words that I can do anything and everything, but you don't believe I have the power to resurrect your brother today? Jesus could have said that to Martha. Jesus could have rebuked Martha. But notice what he does. Instead of rebuking Martha, he reminds Martha of who he is. You know, this is a great attribute of our Savior. In times of sorrow, Jesus does not rebuke, but Jesus leads. He pulls Martha closer to him, and he says to Martha, let me teach you who I am. And he begins by saying to Martha two great truths. I am the resurrection, and I am life. Now, guys, this is profound. Throughout the book of John, there are seven I am statements, seven. And this is the fifth out of the seven. Notice with me very carefully the I am statements in the Bible, in John. He mentions in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world in John 8:12. I am the door of the sheep in John 10:7. I am the good shepherd in John 10:11. I am the resurrection, our text this morning, John 11:25. I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. And I am the vine in John 15:1. The I am statements in the book of John is to show us the divinity of Jesus, that he is God. And the fact that Jesus turned to Martha and says to Martha, I am the resurrection, is that Jesus is responding to Martha's lack of faith in understanding the resurrection. You see, Martha believed that the resurrection will happen only in the last day. But she failed to understand that the person who was walking with her, Jesus Christ, was the resurrection himself. In other words, what Jesus says, wherever he is, there will be resurrection. If he walks on this earth with Lazarus physically, there will be resurrection. When he comes back for his believers, there will be resurrection. Without Jesus, there is no resurrection. This is Jesus' point. He is the resurrection. That he brings life to people. I love the second thing that Jesus mentioned. Jesus says that he is life. He has power over life. He has power over death. He has power to forgive sin. He who is life can surely restore life. What a beautiful thing. And both truths put together gives us a great display of Jesus' power and glory. Notice, not only does Jesus resurrect people from the grave physically, but also spiritually. When Jesus says, I am the resurrection, Jesus is also saying, basically and primarily in a spiritual sense, that he resurrects our spiritual bodies. The Bible says that we were dead in our trespasses, but when we come to know Jesus, he brings us to life. What is that? There's spiritual resurrection. So when Jesus says, I am the resurrection, Jesus is saying both spiritually and physically. For those of you who know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, know this. You have experienced the spiritual resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you die, you will also experience the physical resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. On Friday, I found out my uncle, my mother's brother, passed away. My mom called me around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. She was crying, weeping. She said, your uncle died. I wasn't close to my uncle, wasn't close at all, but that really affected me. It did. And the way it affected me is that I started thinking about life and death. You know, my uncle was responsible in leading my mom to Christ. He was a preacher in St. Lucia. And then he started doing all kinds of crazy stuff. He had multiple affairs, ended up losing his ministry, had a horrible reputation in the community, isolated himself from everyone. Now, whether my uncle is saved or lost, I have no clue. But one thing I can tell you is this. I started thinking about the legacy that my uncle left behind, or perhaps the lack of it. I started thinking about my own life and my own death. That if I die, will I embrace the Lord like John Payton, like the disciples? Am I ready? Am I leaving behind a good legacy for my children? Do I have a good reputation? There is great truth that, yes, we will be resurrected from the grave, but there is also the practical truth of living for Jesus. There is a spiritual resurrection that must happen first before the physical resurrection. Is that you? Can you say to me without a doubt, man, I know that Jesus has resurrected my spiritual body. I belong to him. I know that I have confessed my sins. I have repented of my sins. And I'm living for Jesus. I am worshiping Jesus. Jesus is my all in all. And when death comes, I know that I will be resurrected and spend eternity with Jesus. C.T. Studd said this. There's only one life, and it will soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Is that you? Notice finally, in conclusion, what Jesus said to Martha. Notice a question that he stated to Martha, and this is the same question that we must be faced with. After all of this, Jesus then turned to Martha in verse 26 after he says, "And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." He turned to Martha and he turns to you and he's saying this to you today. Do you believe this? Come here close and don't miss this. Don't miss this. Do you believe this? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the power of Jesus Christ? Do you believe this? Jesus is not appealing to Martha's feelings. He's not saying, "Well, Martha, how do you feel about this? You just lost your brother. How do you feel about what I just said to you?" That's not what he said. But he's appealing to what she believed, what she trusts. Do you believe this? The same question is for you. What do you believe? What do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe that he is the one true God? Do you believe that you are a sinner? Do you believe that God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that he can regenerate you and save you and sanctify you and set you apart for his glory? Do you believe that you are living for Jesus? Do you believe that your life makes a difference? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? So, brothers and sisters, friends, as you are thinking about what you believe, my prayer is that you will turn to Jesus and trust in him as Lord and Savior. You will repent from your sins. You will have that faith that is set on him. And when death comes your way, you can say, "I know my destiny. I know my destiny." At this time, the worship team will come up. And in response to the sermon, I want us to sing this song, "I Believe." But before you start singing this song, notice the words to the song and ask yourself, do you believe the words that you are singing? Just contemplate on these words. And for those of you who have never trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, turn to him. Coming up front and praying a sinner's prayer was not, it's not going to save you. What's going to save you is you turning to the Savior, Jesus Christ. We don't do sinner's prayers here. I'm not saying sinner's prayer cannot save, cannot lead you to Christ. I am saying to you what leads you to Christ is you praying to Christ. You turn into Christ in your own words. Your own words. Simple words like, God, I am a sinner. And I know what your Son Jesus Christ did on the cross for my sins. I turn from my sins and I turn to Jesus who can save me. I believe in his resurrection. I believe that he was buried and resurrected, ascended on high. I believe that he loves me and he's calling me to be saved. Pray to Jesus. And for those of you who are believers but yet struggle like Martha, simple faith, practical faith, that God will protect you, provide for you. Believe. Believe in his resurrection. Believe in him.